6 seconds to play in Super Bowl 34.
McNair drops, throws right side for Dyson. He dives for the end zone. He came up 1 yard short.
Down the middle, James, the lateral to the corner of the end zone. Can you believe that?
As Boone hits it to deep left, that might send the Yankees to the World Series. Seven.
Boise State for the win. They hand it off to Johnson. Boise State has won the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl. Can you believe it?
Chalmers for the tie.
Got it in 2 seconds.
They're going to kick the field goal. It'll be Jason Gingell out of the hole to Mesko. Good snap. Good hold. And the kick is blocked. Appalachian State has stunned the college football world.
Last time on Sports Out the Wazoo.
The 96 team tournament, do I like it? Would I personally do it? No. But from an objective standpoint, it's not going to be the end of the earth. And so I think people need to recognize, look, it's going to be okay. But once again, it brings me back to the question, what's the best sporting event? I go with March Madness.
There are situations I feel like this could just be a baseball bias. But if you get a Game 7 of World Series, it's not a whole lot better than that.
If you look at, all right, who watched the National Championship game, it's going to pale in comparison to who watched the Super Bowl. But honestly, yeah, as far as quality of games and what I'd rather watch, NCAA tournament, I think, takes every the day. Cake on that one.
And welcome to Sports Out the Wazoo, sponsored by Capone's. There we go. Had a little technical difficulties. Capone's located across from the Church and Center. 265-1886 is the number. Brandon Dixon, Chris Kroger, Blake Hodge, Brian Fisher filling in on the board for Justin Gazepas today. And guys, a kind of lazy Wednesday. It's the NBA season's winding down. Baseball is obviously heated up, but not a whole lot going on.
NHL you kicking kinda off tonight.
Yep. NHL playoff games.
Two NHL playoff games getting ready to kick off. And then, speaking of kickoffs, NFL draft coming up pretty soon here. We got a little over a week left until that. So it's kind of the lull before the storm starts to hit, because once the draft heats up and then more free agency with NFL, NBA playoffs will be going around next week, and we'll have a lot more to talk about. But sticking in the NBA right now, obviously the Bobcats clinched a playoff berth, and they have solidified themselves as the number 7 seed in the Eastern Conference
well,
now.
Well, everybody else solidified them. Yeah,
well, they had two teams above them, and it was they had to win out, and then all those teams had to pretty much lose out.
Well, they lost the tiebreaker to both of those teams, so you lose the tiebreaker to Miami and to Milwaukee. You don't stand it. You know, two games left, two games. Even if you go 0-2, they go 2-0. You go 2-0, they go 0-2. You're kind of handcuffed in what you can
do. I mean, the good part about that, though, is they can – not that you already want to start planning, but you want to kind of get mental preparation sometimes. Yep. Sometimes it helps. I mean, coaches will tell you differently each and every time, but you would be remiss if you didn't talk a little bit about the playoffs before the regular season ended already, because, you know what, players are already kind of looking forward to that, especially if this is their first playoff appearance. This is a big time for the franchise. They're ready for playoff. They're ready for the playoffs in the NBA, and they're kind of transitioning out of the regular season. And right now, it's just, just finish out the final game, do whatever we have to, maybe get some guys some minutes. Larry Brown had said that he's not resting anybody come tonight when they play their final game against Chicago. And there's kind of an even split when it comes to that. The bandwagon people that say, you should definitely play them. You don't want them getting rusty or anything like that. And then the other half that say, hey, what happens if they get injured, especially with the Bobcats team that's already banged up?
Yeah, it's definitely interesting, and I want to talk about that in a second, because David Stern stepping in now and all sorts of it's become a very heated topic, and it almost seemed like it came out of nowhere.
The same thing that we talk about every year in the NFL whenever a team clinches home field.
Yeah.
The Colts, are they going to sit? Are they going to sit Peyton? Is he going to play?
It's not quite as big of a scale, because obviously it's not it's your last game or last couple games, but still it does have bearing, because, hey, season ticket holders or people that buy tickets to go see, hey, maybe those fans bought them way back at the end saying, hey, maybe this could be a big game down the stretch, which it still has some implications.
I think the
interesting thing is for the Bobcats, when you look at the Magic series, and we talked a little bit about it, assuming that they would end up in the seventh spot, and they did now. But the thing about the Magic game, the Magic series, is I like the Bobcats matchup much better now. And we were talking last week, I like a matching up against the Hawks or the Cavs. And a lot of times, maybe during the regular season they did, but that's the regular season. And in the NBA especially, that has no bearing on the playoffs. I mean, it's completely different. These teams, the Cavs especially, the Cavs are right now are a team, one of those teams we were just talking about that's kind of putting it in cruise control. LeBron James is going maybe 80-90% in the regular season, depending on who he's playing. In the playoffs, he's a freak of nature. You don't even want to get in his way. They're a completely different level of basketball. But with the Magic series, the thing I like is, once again, we talked about this, you got a three-headed beast at the center position now with Theo Ratliff, who started most of the games over the past month and a half. You have Tyson Chandler, who's finally healthy, giving you a double-double when he's healthy now off the bench. And then you also have Naz Mohammed, who, now that he's healthy, he's going to give you some just some spell of relief for both of those guys. So I like that you can throw bodies at Dwight Howard. But the thing that I found interesting, Gerald Wallace made some comments the other night after the game saying, look, we don't want to make this Dwight versus the Bobcats because it's bigger than that.
Magic and, are much deeper than Dwight.
Well, yeah. And not,
as evidenced by their run to the finals, obviously. I mean, Dwight Howard really got shut down, especially against Cleveland.
And the thing is, too, I think when you look at the Magic, I mean, it's so easy to get caught up in Dwight Howard because of the impact he makes. I mean, he definitely makes that team. Without him, they're just a playoff team. They're not an upper-level elite team in the Eastern Conference.
I mean, that's why centers are so valuable in the league.
Of course. The thing that Gerald said that was so enlightening, I guess, was, look, as much as we want to, you know, get into this one-on-one battle and maybe wear down Dwight Howard and maybe play away from him and play out on the perimeter, we can't do that. You can't play scared. You can't play thinking, well, if I drive this ball, then he might block me, or if I go to the rim here strong, I might get fouled and I'm not a great foul shooter. You can't play that way. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how the Bobcats play the Magic. I wouldn't be surprised if they'll steal a game. I wouldn't be surprised if they steal two in this series. They don't stand a chance, though. You're not going to beat the Magic in the first round, especially in your first playoff series. The thing that's interesting, this team has a lot of playoff experience, just none together. So that's the variable there that we're not sure what's going to happen.
Well, and you know what? You can't completely count the Bobcats out. Not saying that they're going to do the inevitable, but, I mean, it is a 2 and a 7 seed going at each other. They could. It's all about matchups. Since the playoffs are so long, not only are you playing a team for potentially 7 games, 4 to 7 games, but on top of that, you have so many off days that any type of momentum, quote unquote momentum or whatever, it gets thrown out the window. It's just who's on that day, and it's kind of almost like the NCAA tournament where you're just playing one game at a time.
I think
not looking forward to the whole series.
The other big question mark too is how do the Bobcats fans react? Because look, Orlando's a great place to play in the playoffs. It's loud. It reminds me of how the Hive used to be in Charlotte. Okay. Bobcats fans, are you going to sell out the arena, and how much noise are you going to make? It's not okay to just go to the game. Are you going to I mean, the Bobcats have had great success. I think 31-9 on the year
at home. They have one of the best records at home. So you can't count them out if they can play 3 games there.
No, but the interesting thing is, will they be vocal? Will they provide that playoff atmosphere? I don't know. It's hard to just assume that they would because they've never supported
never
this team yet.
Before,
yeah.
Yeah.
So.
If they can steal a game early, which is asking a lot down in Orlando, that would change the whole dynamic of this entire series. Yeah. Because then if you go back, then Charlotte suddenly has the home court advantage, and that can change the whole dynamic of this series, especially with how well they played at home.
This wouldn't surprise me if this is one of those series that maybe goes 6 games, but a lot of games being won on the other team's court. So I don't see this going 2-2-2. You know what I mean? Like this, you win there 2, they win there 2, and then it goes back.
And usually,
I think it could flip-flop.
Usually in the NBA playoffs, it's never like that anyways, because even Cleveland had such a great record last year. I think they had the best record at home all of last year.
Two games at home.
Yeah, and then I think they lost 2 games to the Magic at home.
Yeah, home court
advantage. Right, I was like, what on earth?
Home court advantage is important, but it gets a little bit overblown. You know, at the end of the day, these guys are the professionals. They can go in. It's not exactly like in college football or college basketball where a hostile environment really changes the way the game is played. In the NBA, it's a little different, so I definitely...
Yeah, well, you're stepping too, because think of it this way. I mean, Bobcats fans don't want to think about the Nets, but, I mean, time in and time out, you're getting teams like the Nets, maybe the Knicks, or, you know, a team that's maybe banged up and injured, so you're accumulating a lot of wins, games that you should be winning, but nonetheless, games against lesser teams. When you get to the playoffs, it's eight best teams in the East, eight best teams in the West, and so it changes the whole dynamic of that, because not only are you playing one team consecutively for 4 to 7 games, you're also playing that team that's one of the best teams in the NBA and deserves that right to be there just like you do.
Yeah, and exactly, and I think that's what I was kind of talking about earlier. When you look, the regular season, it matters to a certain degree. You got to see, for the most part, who this team is, but it's a whole different level of play, and that's why I think, these teams are seeded for a reason. In Orlando, I love the Bobcats. I definitely think there's no doubt in my mind if the Bobcats played Boston or if they played Atlanta, they would win that series. There's no doubt in my mind. They would come out. It might go six. It might go seven. But the
It'd be tough, but I think with both teams
it wouldn't be tough against the Celtics. I have no doubt in my mind. If you watch the Celtics last night, Rasheed Wallace scored on his own basket. I mean, the Celtics look old. They look average. They look disinterested. And, you know,
Rivers.
Doc Rivers said he might be leaving now. So, I mean, it's one of those things where I think matchups are, at the end of the day, it kills you.
Can I say this about Doc Rivers, too, just real quick, not trying to harp on him, but I used to think the most of him when he was an analyst with ABC and ESPN. I think nothing of him now. I think all he is a bandwagon coach, if I've ever seen one. He really only hopped on Boston to when he could accrue all that talent. Now that it's starting to sink, he doesn't want to be anywhere around it. The same thing with Orlando, too.
Well, you know what? Orlando's the interesting thing because Stan Van Gundy, I think, is one of the most underrated coaches in the NBA. That guy does not get enough credit for – and obviously they're very talented.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great team.
But they've also taken – nobody thought they would have done what they did last year. And nobody's thinking they're going to do it again this year. And I think they're my sleeper team. I think that they could win an NBA championship this year. They're that good this year.
I mean, I don't think much of a sleeper pick. I mean,
they
could go up against Cleveland, and it's not a whole lot of difference.
I agree. But it's one of those things where if you talk Cleveland, Orlando, you know, 95% of the time it's Cleveland. You don't even give them a chance.
I mean, just the casual fans going to think, all right, well, Cleveland, no shot. But if you look at this team, the Orlando matches up well.
Yeah, I think they're the best all-round, deepest team. And the thing is, though, when I look at the playoffs, I look at the seedings, and at the end of the day, I say there are seedings for a reason. There's a reason only three times an 8 seed is beat a 1 seed, and it's only happened once in a 7-game series. If this was a 5-game series, look, I think the Bobcats might have a real fighter's chance of getting in and winning the series. A 7-game series, it's not going to be pretty, and especially for a team that lacks depth off the bench. And that's where I think this series will be won, when Orlando, who has one of the best benches at every position in the NBA, the Bobcats, they lean so heavily on two or three guys off the bench.
And when you think about this team, I mean, ever since Theo Ratliff came over from the Spurs, where he was not even used.
Yeah, which we made fun of repeatedly on the show.
Yeah, now he's actually become something. I mean, what is he, 36 or something, 37? I mean, he's up there in age. He's been playing for a while.
He's a rebounding machine.
Yeah, he's a rebounding machine. He's still a decent shot blocker. He has gotten posterized a few times, but still, I mean, he really adds that veteran aspect.
So he's still got the confidence of a shot blocker.
He went from playing no minutes with the Spurs to playing the majority of the minutes down the stretch for the Bobcats. Mm-hmm. Now, on top of that, you look at Raymond Felton's been ridden pretty hard. Gerald Wallace, Steven Jackson, definitely. Gerald Wallace has played the most minutes in the NBA of anybody.
Steven Jackson and Gerald Wallace are two of the top three guys in the NBA in total minutes played.
Yeah. And you got to think that eventually.
From the Warriors, where they had like six healthy players at times, to the Bobcats, where he's the.
You got to think that eventually, and I'm not trying to diss on the Bobcats at all, because I think they have as good a shot as anybody else to knock off the Magic, because if you look at all the other matchups in the East, I mean, honestly, I think the Magic could beat the Cavs. I think they could beat the Hawks. I think they could beat the Celtics. So you keep going down the line. The Bobcats actually don't stack up that bad. A lot of people are saying, okay, it's their first time. Hey, maybe they can get a good one win and you know, be a good moral victory for them. I think they're going to win two victories.
I agree.
I think they're going to win two games at least.
You look up and down the starting five for the Bobcats versus the Magic point guard position.
Yeah, I mean, it stacks
marginally better for the Magic, but not much better. I mean, Raymond Felton is a very good upper-level point guard in this
league. He's been playing a lot better lately. He's shooting a career-high 47%.
Shooting guard, you got Vince Carter going up against Steven Jackson.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a push.
That's a great matchup.
That's a push. And then you got the small forward position. You got Gerald Wallace over there.
Matt Barnes,
who's a pesky defender but not a great scorer. So you give the advantage to the Bobcats at that position. Then you're talking power forward position.
Rashard Lewis.
Yeah, Rashard Lewis, who's a great three-point shooter, but he's not a good post-up guy.
DL versus him.
I mean, it's a mismatch. It's interesting, really, when you think about it.
In the center position, you mentioned the depth.
Three bodies versus one.
Yeah, and Dwight Howard, and obviously Dwight Howard.
I mean,
he's going to get stuff done.
Gortat does too.
But Dwight Howard's going to get his work done in the playoffs for sure. But he's kind of had a little bit of an off year this year. He's really had to work at transforming his game, because a lot of teams have keyed in. They said, okay, he's pretty much got one or two moves, and he started to try to transition his game to have a bigger arsenal. But still, at the same time, like I said, Bobcats, you got to like that matchup. I think the thing that gives you a confidence as a Bobcats fan, or if you're the Bobcats as a team, I think the thing that Larry Brown is coaching right now is, look at how well we have played them all season long. All these games, even the losses, have come down to overtime. They've come to two or three points. Yeah, there's only been one blowout. That's pretty much been an anomaly for this whole part of the season.
And the last time they played, the Bobcats won.
Yeah, and the last time they played, the Bobcats won. Also, the past few seasons, the Bobcats have played them pretty close. Now, normally the Magic have had their number, but at the same time, okay, well, schedule. Now this is a little bit more of an even playing field. We'll see if the Bobcats really belong amidst the big guys. I think if you get two wins, which I think the Bobcats can, I think that's a pretty
it's
good.
Proven a lot.
Yeah, I think that's proven a lot for a team that's just now getting in the playoffs, just now having a winning record, 40 wins, maybe a chance at 45 tonight. I mean, that's a pretty big
and
deal.
And you know what? The Bobcats have I think it's going to be very interesting to watch tonight because the Bobcats take on the Bulls. The Bulls win and you're in, lose and Toronto wins, and then they're out. So the Bulls have something to play for. I want to see if the Bobcats want to play the role of spoiler or not. I think it'd be pretty fun, and especially since they lost in the United Center a couple weeks ago. So we'll see what the Bobcats do. The other interesting story coming out of Charlotte is there were some – I almost don't want to acknowledge this because this is the nature of the Internet. This is how it works. There were some reports – I don't even know what that means. I mean, somebody spread a rumor and
somebody
got cited, and so
somewhere.
It somehow it becomes a source. But there was a source in a report that said Larry Brown was interested in taking the 76ers job in Philadelphia.
There was a source in a report on some unknown website.
Yeah, no, I mean, basically that's what it comes down
blogger.
To. I mean, it's like
it's
a game
fan.
Of telephone anymore. That's all it is. But the fact of the matter is the thinking was, okay, Larry Brown's got his wife and a couple of his kids living in Philadelphia. He could go back and be the GM and the coach. Look, he's already that guy now in Charlotte,
here's
and he's
deal.
Playing with Michael Jordan.
There's going to be plenty of reports because Philly's job is probably going to open up, and the Clippers' job has got an interim coach right now. So there's going to be reports that are going to eventually come out, but that's what they are. The reports, they're rumors, basically. They're glorified rumors is all they are, and you really won't know until the dust settles. But right now, Larry Brown has what he needs.
Yeah.
And
not what he needs. He has what he wants. And that's, to me, when I look at this story, it doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't add up. Yes, his wife and his kids are in Philly. Look, he's lived his entire life away from his wife and his kids. All of a sudden, it's important to him. He's playing with he's working with another Carolina guy. And I'm quoting him here. Yeah. He says, I can't remember having any more fun as a coach. He's the only guy I'm going to coach for. He brought me here. He gave me a chance. And he's dead right. Nobody wanted to give Larry Brown another chance. They thought he was over. They thought he was done after that Knicks debacle. Well, and not only that, his mother lives in a retirement home in Charlotte. He gets to see his mother every day.
I think the other thing, too, is that fans started saying, okay, well, what he could do is go to Philly or L.A. and then eventually become GM or start going that route, since a lot of people are doing that.
It's like paranoia.
He said, listen, I'm 69. Phil Jackson has been rumored to be leaving and stepping down from the Lakers job each and every year, probably for the last 5 years. He's 64. I'm 5 years older than him. Listen, I have 2 years left on my contract. Yeah. Pretty much, I want to fulfill my contract. After that, then we'll see what happens.
No, and apart from that, guys, think about it. The basketball situation he's in, he's coaching a playoff team as opposed to the Sixers, who are arguably the least and worst team, least talented and worst team in the NBA and have been for the last 2 or 3 years. Why on earth would he want to go to a situation that is ripe and young and growing and flourishing to go to his basketball situation by himself and take on something that's just ugly? He tried that in New York, and it didn't work out.
Here's the key here. I think, and he said this too, he kind of mentioned it, not in passing of saying, okay, well, I might have left, but he kind of did mention that it had a bearing of ownership, because they said, all right, we don't really know where ownership's going. Robert Johnson wants to sell the team. Who's he going to sell it to? When Michael Jordan bought it, that provided stability not only to the organization but also to coaching for all the coaches, and said, okay, we're not going to get axed
or
anything
Larry
like
said.
That.
He said the only indecision he had about the job was before Michael. So.
Yeah, and not only that, but the owner that you know eventually buys the Bobcats is not only Michael Jordan, a Carolina guy himself, the guy that hired him, but it's also a guy that wants to keep him around, is not wanting to make any changes, somebody he knows he's very good friends with, and somebody that really says, okay, you want this team, you can kind of play a little bit of role of general manager. Yeah. We'll just oversee. And you know what? That's the thing that's made him so good. Bernie Bickerstaff, as much as I hated him when he was a coach, he really was a solid coach. He really taught the team.
He's a great coach.
Fundamentals. And not only that, but he did a pretty solid job of not only drafting and getting, kind of diamonds in the rough, a little lightning in a bottle. But on top of that, he did a good job of bringing chemistry to that team, something Sam Vincent just tore to shreds in his 1 year here. But Larry Brown started to do that. He's brought chemistry to the team. You can tell Steven Jackson has found his role. Gerald Wallace knows everything's not on him. He's not a 30-point-a-night scorer anyways. He's a contributor. And on top of that, I mean, I think you've seen everybody kind of finally have clearly defined roles. Raymond Felton's been able to play a lot more comfortable. He's not been playing lights out or anything like that. He's shooting a career high. But on top of
he's
that,
he's a top 10-point guard in the NBA.
Yeah, he's, and he's comfortable. You can tell. He knows his role. And I think D.J. Augustine hopefully will find
he's
a role
great.
As
no,
well.
We were longing for it. He's woken up the past 2 weeks. He's making game-winning shots.
Yeah, he's had,
I don't know where this kid came from.
three big games in which he pretty much won them. The game he had three threes
in
the fourth
Orleans
quarter.
For him,
in the fourth quarter against New Orleans, and then he had another game-winning three, and then I think the other night he had a big three-point shot as well. He's become that perimeter threat as well for the Bobcats. So you got to give it to this team. They're starting to show depth. Gerald Henderson's starting to come in as well.
It's all about Larry Brown giving him minutes. When Gerald plays, he's incredible. It's Larry Brown just doesn't trust him, which it's the rookie thing, but it's not justified. I want to see this kid play in the playoffs. His athleticism matches up well with the Magic.
Well, and you know what? We've always said that depth is has been an issue for Charlotte all season. Well, now we're starting to see depth because after these trades, which we dissed on a little bit and hated on Michael Jordan and all that for making some of those moves, they've really started to add that depth, that front court depth that you need. And not only that, but you've also seen a lot of these other guards start to come out. Larry Hughes, that's got to be one of the biggest contributors that nobody's talking about on this Bobcats
team.
Well,
the last game, he didn't do anything until he woke up the other game. And hopefully that
continues.
Last
few games, he's actually done pretty well. So, give him some credit. He's really starting to get his legs back underneath him, and just in time for the playoffs, you got to hope that can help them possibly get past the Magic.
And I think you hit the nail on the head when you said there's defined roles. When you fix the front court situation, you now have guys playing at their natural positions, and you define roles within the team, and so everybody else starts feeling comfortable.
Just makes everybody comfortable.
You're exactly right.
That's when you play the best.
The other thing about Larry Brown is we're getting ready to take a break right here. Larry Brown and Michael Jordan, I kid you not, every day after practice, they hug on each other, they're talking, they're like tickling each other. They're buddy-buddy. I can guarantee you.
That's a little weird.
Just go ask. Just go ask.
Let's hit up this break.
Go ask John Paxson.
What Larry Brown's wife's thinking about this.
Go ask John Paxson and Vinny Del Negro how they get along. Apparently they're shoving each other.
They're shoving each other.
Behind closed doors.
Vinny Del Negro.
It's a great situation the Bobcats are in right now, and hopefully Larry Brown will be around to enjoy it for at least a couple years. I think he will. We're going to take a break. When we get back, we'll continue to talk about the NBA. We talked about it a second ago. Do players owe anything to the fans? Should they play? Should they be resting players? David Stern's getting involved. We're going to talk about that when we get back on Sports Out the Wazoo on 90.5 WASU FM, WASURocks.com.